Hello.
Shabbat Shalom. Do your hearts still burn? Oh, I can feel it. I can feel you burning. Man, it's just overwhelming. I mean, worship almost knocked me on my feet. Off my feet. Come on. Shabbat Shalom. Is your heart still burning? The first century church, what a day that would have been. Yes. We got that on our sign out there. Yeah. What's it say?
Restoring
first century church. For real? Is that what we're doing? Restoring the first century church. We're burning with that fire. We've just seen Yeshua. We're full of the Holy Spirit. We're walking in power. We're laying hands on people. Is that what we're doing?
No.
What are we doing?
Sleeping.
We putter into the assembly, looking at our phones while worship's going on, drinking coffee, getting a drink of water, in and out. And when the music stops, sometimes when we have little technical problems, we sit back down. We don't even know how to keep worshiping without the music going. A couple different times, right? Elizabeth's over here trying to get them. It stops. I've seen people sit back down, start talking. The first century church. Restoring it. That's what we're doing. We're on fire. The music stops and we sit down and have a conversation with our neighbor. Because we don't know how, by ourselves, without any music, to keep worshiping. I long for those days. I long for the days when I gave my heart to Yeshua. Remember that? You remember how excited it was? You remember how excited you were when you got saved at the church? And it was perfectly fine back then. In Jesus' name. Thank God I got into the church. I was getting ready to die. I was going down a path, I promise you. If you guys knew me, never mind. I won't go there. You wouldn't like me. I was getting ready to die. I was going the wrong way. I was going on a one-way street driving the wrong way. I went to my parents' Baptist church. I'd been there before. You know, I wasn't really paying attention. But that day, the Father called me. There's been a few times in my life that I still remember. I came from a divorced family. This ain't in my notes. I came from a divorced family. My mom remarried. I got a wonderful stepfather. But we moved around a little bit, trying to get settled down. And we had moved, and I had gone to a new school, and I didn't really know anyone there. So I'm in the classroom. You know how all that goes. And there was just this time, I was upstairs in my bedroom. I don't know how old I was, 5 or 6, 7. And I was looking out the window. I don't even know why. I mean, I hadn't even been in church at this point. I mean, we weren't, like, my mom was Catholic, and we didn't really practice Catholicism, but then she remarried my stepfather, and he was Church of God, and we didn't really go to Church of God. And I was looking out the window, and I remember this day, and the Father still reminds me of it. God, if you're real, you come down here right now. I remember saying that. My heart was desiring something. If you're real, you come down here right now. You know, he can deal with a kid saying something like that. Well, of course, you know, There was no physical manifestation, you know. The next thing I remember, I was in a Church of God. Me and my mom would go, and I was the oldest of four kids. And so my dad would stay back with the younger ones, and mom would say, "Hey, you want to go to church?" And there was a time I said, "Yeah." I mean, I just had the unction. I maybe was 10, 11. And it was like a Sunday night. And we went, and the pastor just said, "I want everyone to bow at the pews and just have some time of prayer. You just pray on your own. Find your own spot and pray." And I was on this side and just found a little place by myself. It wasn't very, maybe about this many people, but I had the whole pew to myself. I'm down there praying. I mean, 10 or 11 years old. I don't know who this person was. It was a lady, and she came and put her hands on me. And she prayed, man. And she cried over me. And something changed that day. I never knew who it was. I didn't look up. I was afraid. I mean, I was like, what? But she made a difference. And she doesn't, I don't know who she is. She prayed over me that day. And I still remember pouring myself out as a 10 or 11 year old. Pouring myself out. I was heartfelt. There was something going on in my life. A lot of things go on when you come from a broken home. Whether your parents, they don't even mean to, but there's a lot of rejection. And dad, it had taken off and left. Why does anyone hang out with me? What's wrong with me? But that lady prayed over me, and I remember that. And then the other time I remember is that day I gave my heart back to the Father. I remember I knew the Lord then. I mean, I had believed. But between then and the Baptist church, I tried to kill myself. Not literally, just the folks I was hanging out with and what I was doing. The first century church. Getting that first love back. Getting that desire back. Having some zeal in our hearts and souls about serving the King of Kings. I don't know what happened. We're asleep. We drag through the day like we're dragging some bowling balls. We're in disguise. People don't even know we have the light. We're supposed to be the difference. And I'm telling you, we better wake up. Because I was telling Patty this week, I was in at work. We had some meetings going on, and I overheard a conversation. I won't even repeat what it was. And I'll tell, if you guys want to talk about it, nor no neg or something, I'll let you know. But I don't want to have it recorded. But the things that these two guys were talking about, and how they were raising up their sons, and what they were allowing them to look at, I'll leave it at that. Because they just thought it would help. And I went up to them and said, "What did you say?" And they told me, I said, "You have lost your minds." I said, and they go, "No, no, no." I said, "No, no, no, no." I said, "You're shot. You're gone." I said, "You're totally gone. You've lost your everlasting mind." But what happens is the enemy, I'm getting a little ring back or something. The enemy is subtle. And just like we see what Tom has been talking about, the role reversal in the homes, that's almost accepted now, right, in just society. And the alternate lifestyles, we celebrate it. On corporate America, you celebrate it. You have a whole month. And if you don't, it's a problem. The first century church. They met every day. They met every day. They broke bread together. They sold all their stuff. If they had extra stuff and there was someone with a need, they sold it and brought it together and helped one another. Oh, man. We can't get folks probably to write a check and put something in the box half the time. And we won't sell nothing. Trust me, we're getting ready to move. You ever moved? Should I get rid of this? We haven't used it in 9 years. It might be a good time to get rid of it. I watched my neighbor next door. They were a couple, they were a little different. I kind of avoided them, to be honest with you. Shame on me. They lived next to me for about 2.5 years. And they were moving. And they had no one helping them. And they had a U-Haul truck pulled up. And I think I was probably getting ready for a Torah portion. I was in there trying to study or something. I mean, I wasn't just, you know, watching, you know, The Price is Right. And I remember I had to, you know, and it was hot. And I looked out and they were loading that truck by themselves, just sweating. I didn't even go out and help them. I went back in my little place and did my little study. And then the next day, they were pulling out and I said, God bless you. God be with you. Thank you. And I thought, well, I could have gone out and lend a hand. And never even shared my faith with them the whole time they were next to us. Shame on me. Sent them on their way. To the messenger of the assembly of Ephesians, this is not my notes, and I'll get to my notes. Right, he who is holding the 7 stars in his right hand and who is walking in the midst of the 7 golden lampstands says, I know your works and your labor and your endurance and that you are not able to bear with the evil ones, with the church down the street. God forbid, they don't keep Shabbat like we do. And have tried those who say that they are apostles, emissaries, and are not. We point them out. And have found them false. And you have been bearing up and have endurance and have labored and for my name's sake and have not become weary. Although I think maybe we've become weary. But I hold this against you. You've left your first love. We don't have any passion anymore. We don't have any passion anymore. Somewhere it's gone out. So remember from where you have fallen. And repent and do the first things you did when you got excited, when you accepted Yeshua. Man, I witnessed to everyone. My parents, you know, they used to put you out of the house and tell you to go outside and play. She used to say, will you please go out and just leave us alone and get out of here? I heard you. I was happy, man. I was telling them about Jesus. Or else I will come to you speedily. When he comes, it's going to be quick. Boop. And remove your lampstand. Oh, boy. Uh-oh. From its place. Unless you repent. Yet this I have. Oh, you hate the works of the Nicolaitans. The church down the street. Oh, man. They say Jesus. They don't have the understanding that we have. We're messianic now. Captured the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. They're feeding the hungry. They're doing things. You got Franklin Graham, Samaritan's Purse. They're sending trucks and trains and things. And he doesn't keep the feast. You ever watched a movie about Corey Ten Boom? They didn't keep the feast. I'm not saying we don't need to keep the feast. Don't misspeak. I'm all about it. Trust me. I looked at that movie a little bit this week. Gave their lives for those folks. The old man came out, 80-something years old, and the German said, if you'll just shut up and go back in there, we'll let you stay here, old man. He said, put me on the truck. I'm not going back. You're not going to tell me to shut up. It's the last time Corrie Ten Boom saw her dad. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Ruach says to the assemblies. To him who overcomes, I shall give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the garden of Elohim. Father, bless us this afternoon with ears that will hear and accept your word. Remove scales that prevent us from allowing your seed to soak into our hearts, Father. Remove any hard shell that pushes back against your Holy Spirit and that is in contention with you, Father. The pride of life, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the world. Help us to settle, Father, in our flesh and open ourselves to your Spirit to hear with ears of understanding and discernment. Ears to hear. Ears to hear. We just saw it. You go through Revelation, he says it over and over and over and over. He goes through the Gospels, ears to hear, ears to hear. Why is he saying ears to hear? Why all the reminders? Because we don't hear. It's never for us. It's always for someone else. It's always for the person who couldn't make it to the service today. Oh, I mean, I wish Tammy was here. She needs to hear that word. No, it's for you. It's not for Tammy. It's not for them. It's for you. Is there an insinuation by the Father that we don't have ears to hear? After sharing the parable of the sower in Matthew 13, you know the sower, some seed was falling on the wayside, on rocky places among the thorns. Some was on good soil. Yeshua says, he who has ears, let him hear. And we look at the word hear. Oki in the Greek, 3775. The faculty of perceiving with the mind. The faculty of receiving with the mind. The faculty of understanding and knowing. Whoever has the faculty of understanding, let him use it. The faculty of paying attention. The faculty of attending and paying attention to what the Ruach is sharing with each of us. So let's just stop for a second. Father, give us ears to hear what the Spirit would say to this house today, Father. Help us, Father, in Yeshua's name. This is not, as Tom said last week, this is not the donut shop. This is not Krispy Kreme. You're not going to come in here and get cream puff donut sermons. If the Word of God doesn't poke you in the chest and challenge you, you've wasted your time. You've wasted your time. You're not going to leave here with something to think about and something to challenge your heart and your spirit, you're wasting your time. Just stay home. Watch TV with you know who. I'm not going to say his name. When the disciples questioned Yeshua about why he was speaking in parables, Yeshua quotes Isaiah 6, verse 9. And he says, and in them the prophecy of Isaiah is completely filled, which says, herein you shall hear, but by no means understand. And seeing you shall see, and by no means do you perceive it. For the heart of his people, of this people, has become thickened. And their ears are hard of hearing. They've lost it. They've lost their minds. And their eyes have closed, lest, if they did hear, they would change. They would see and they would hear with their ears and they would understand with their hearts and turn back, and I would heal them. Let's have an old-fashioned healing service today. That'd scare some of you. You wouldn't even know what to do. I'm an old, you know, I came up kind of Pentecostal, so I mean, I'm not saying let's go back to that, you know, where you're just rolling around and stuff, but I mean, you know, we could have a little something going on, you know, I mean, we could have the Spirit move a little bit, wake us up just a little bit. Hey, I don't want to put them in a box. Hey, somebody needs healing, and the Holy Spirit wants to move on someone. It's only minor when it's yours. Or into someone else's. When it's your healing, it's major. When someone else has surgery, it's minor surgery. When it's your surgery, it's major surgery. The heart of the people had become insensitive to the Spirit of God, complacent, comfortable. We've become comfortable. I'm sorry to say it. I talked to Tom about this message before he left, and he gave me permission to share it. When he gets back, you can meet him right in his hallway and say, "Why do you leave that guy up there when you leave?" He'll come right in here. He'll come into the prayer room, and you can go right and say, "Tom, that dude with the mustache." But he told me I could. I asked him 3 times, "Tom, can I share this?" And then he wrote me an email this morning. Did you see it? That was a very nice email. It was very encouraging. He's a good guy. And he said, "Go for it. I have permission from the pastor of this church." The heart of the people has become insensitive and complacent. Perhaps they thought they were in a good place spiritually. But they did not heed to the word, the instructions for life. Apparently, they were not turning their hearts back to Yeshua, or he wouldn't have said it. Well, today's lesson is not necessarily about ears to hear, but as I was preparing, I felt led to do ears to hear. So I did it. But we certainly need to have softened hearts so that we can receive what the Ruach is saying to us today. So, I will get to the message, and it's entitled, October 27th. And I'm not going to tell you what the title is, because I want you to listen. Because as soon as I tell you what it's about, then you're going to go ahead of me and try to figure out what I'm going to say. So today's message is called October 27th. I want to spend a few minutes talking about the leaven of the Pharisees. The leaven of the Pharisees. In Luke 11, Yeshua was having some contentious words with the Pharisees. And in verse 42 in chapter 11, and you guys can just take some notes. You don't have to flip all over the place. He challenges their motives and how they were applying the word. You got to love it. Don't you? Don't you love when the Father sends the Holy Spirit and challenges you? Let me challenge your motive. "Woe to you, Pharisees, because you tithe the mint and the rue and every little plant and bypass the love of Elohim." You tithe the mint and the rue and every plant and pass by the love of Elohim. "These you should have done without leaving the others undone." He's not telling them not to tithe. He's not telling them not to keep the Torah. He's not telling them not to keep the word. He's just saying you've got it out of balance. And after this exchange in chapter 11, we go right into Luke 12, verses 1 through 3. "Meanwhile, when an innumerable crowd of people had gathered together so that they trampled on one another, he began to say to his disciples first." How many, you don't have to raise your hand. How many are a disciple of Yeshua? Does anyone want to raise their hand? Oh, we're a little nervous. Oh, but we got a couple. We got, okay, good. This is for you first. The rest of you still trying to figure out, I don't know if I'm a disciple or not. I don't know. Where's he going to go with this? I'll figure it out after the scripture, because, man, it might require something of me. I might have to be different. People might think I'm weird. Come join me. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Oh, gosh. That's a strong word. That is a strong, strong word. Hypocrisy. And whatever is concealed shall be revealed. Oh, boy. Ever had one of those moments? And whatever is hidden shall be known. So whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light. Oh, boy. I have to admit, I repent all the time. I have a little trouble here. I'm coming clean, man. Father, I'm doing better, but it's not there. And whatever you said in the dark shall be heard in the light, and whatever you have spoken in the ear in the inner room shall be proclaimed on the housetops. To his disciples first, not to the folks, not to the folks, to the disciples first. These three verses are full of instruction from Yeshua and given to his disciples to have ears to hear what the word of Messiah was saying. Let's take a look at the word leaven. It's zume in Greek. The spreading influence of what is typically concealed. The spreading influence of what is typically concealed. It's interesting. Leaven is generally a symbol of spreading a nature of evil most times. But we see an exception in Luke 13, verses 20 and 21. And again, Yeshua said, to what shall I compare the kingdom of heaven? It is like leaven, it's the same word, which a woman took and hid in three measures of flour until it was all leaven. Whatever you, it's hidden in the leaven, it's hidden in the bread, and it infiltrates the whole loaf. Seems like there's a lot of concealing and hiding used in the definition of leaven. So is leaven good or is leaven bad? Is leaven good or is leaven bad? The answer is yes. It depends on the spirit behind it. Depends on what is behind it and the spreading of influence among other people. I would say the leaven of the Pharisees in this example that Yeshua was dealing with was probably not good. They could not even find joy when Yeshua healed a man of a withered hand on Shabbat. Would we? Or would it break our little comfort if we broke out and someone got actually healed? Because that's for the Pentecostal church down the street. What about if we had a message in tongues? Ooh, I've heard it all. I've heard some folks in here kind of mocking that, if I'm just being honest. Oh, we don't understand it, so we'll just not go there. But everyone better understand what we believe about keeping Shabbat and keeping the feast, because if they don't, we'll slam them. But boy, oh boy, have a move of the Holy Spirit, it'd be a problem. How about the lady that was bent over for 18 years? She got healed, and the Pharisees were wanting to kill Yeshua.
for healing a man's withered hand, and the lady bent over. Me and Patty were in Israel 3, 4, 5 years ago, I forget, and someone took a picture, and I was in the picture, and I didn't even see this, but there was a lady behind me walking. I think she was a Muslim lady. She was all, you know, with her black and had the thing over her face and everything, walking like this. She was bent over, walking, you know, down the street. And I at scripture, 18 years, weren't even happy that the lady got healed. The Pharisees, their hearts had become so hard. They were tithing the mint, but had passed the love of Elohim by. They were walking and living out the prophecy of Isaiah, for their hearts had become thickened and insensitive, and their ears were hard of hearing. They were fulfilling the technicalities of the word, but they had lost their love and compassion for others. They were loading men's down with burdens too hard to bear. All the oral tradition, all the tradition of men, and had lost the love to help them. They weren't lifting one finger to help them. Yeshua also defines the leaven of the Pharisees in Luke 12:1. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Why in the world would Yeshua tell his disciples to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees? Why his disciples first? Because knowing how easily our hearts can be distracted and enticed, he was reminding them and us to stay alert. Not to become comfortable within ourselves, thinking that we have all this figured out. Not to think too highly of ourselves. Because we can fall into the same traps. And when we look at the word hypocrisy, it comes from Strong's 5272. It means play acting. Someone acting under a mask. To pretend. To pretend. I'm an actor. I'm on stage. I'm walking around pretending like everything is good. I'm saved. And you're not dealing with the things that are real. Years. Lifetimes. I'm sorry if I'm coming on a little too hard. We've got to get some fire back, or we're wasting our time. Could it be that the Pharisees were not being truthful within themselves, pretending, even convincing themselves that they were in good place with the Father, within the secret place of their inner man, that place? I don't even know how to describe it. It's that place. No one else knows what's in there except for you. Your wife doesn't know. Your husband doesn't know. They might know a little bit. They don't know it all. They do not know it all. I promise you they don't know it all. He does. The fruit would tell the truth of how they were living out their lives. And the fruit will tell how we're living out our lives. Are you bearing a burden? Matthew 23:23-28. Yeshua speaking again. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You tithe the mint and the dill and the cumin and have neglected the weightier things of the Torah. Justice and mercy and faithfulness. These need to have been done without neglecting the others. Blind guides, straining out a gnat and swallowing the camel. Every little detail of the Torah, we're going to watch. Every detail. But we better not slip, and we're swallowing a camel. We're not even considering the weightier matters.
justice and mercy and faithfulness. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you clean the outside of the dish, but inside they are filled with greed and lack of control, and you're mastered by your personal appetites. Blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup so that the outside of them, you, becomes clean as well. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you are like whitewashed tombs. It's plastered over. You just took some plaster and it looks good. Which outwardly, yeah, it looks good, but inside you're filled with dead man's bones. What's that? I looked it up. Unresponsive to life-giving influences. You're inoperative to the things of Elohim. You've blocked it out. You've covered it up. You look outwardly, indeed you look well, but inside are filled with dead man's bones and all uncleanliness. So you too outwardly indeed appear to be righteous to others, but inside you are filled with play acting and lawlessness and disobedience and sin. So in the verse, in the six verses above, we see Yeshua uses the word hypocrite four times. Was he being rude and hurtful? Was that his intention? Is that why he came and disrobed himself from his heavenly garment and came down to earth and bent down and washed the disciples' feet? Was that why he came down? Was he being rude and insensitive? Am I being rude and insensitive today? Was he trying to inflict harm to a group of listeners? Was he trying to embarrass the Pharisees? Or was he speaking truthfully about an area that needed to be addressed to bring healing and restoration? Healing and restoration. I'm not so much concerned about the physical healing today. I'm concerned about something else. I'm talking about some healing that needs to take place in here. And we can pretend like it's all taken care of, and it's not. I've talked to some of you. Let's get real. You've been married before and it ended up bad. Tom challenged the Torah portion teachers a couple weeks ago. He said, make it applicable so the folks can take something and use it. You've been married before and it ended up bad. Is it all resolved inside? Every bit of it? Oh boy, do you still have a little angst about that other person? Have you forgiven them totally? When you hear their name, are you okay? When they do something goofy, are you all right? Did someone say something to you that was hurtful? Because you know what? Me and Patty talk about this. That old thing, sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never hurt you. It's a lie. They hurt. And sometimes when you're little and you're a kid and you were chubby and someone called you chubby or you had funny looking hair like I did, I mean, I slick it all back and spray it down and goop it up just so you guys would think that I wake up like this. I don't. It takes work. But when I was a teenager, I looked like Juan Epstein from Welcome Back, Cotter, and I acted like him. Could it be that the Pharisees were appearing, and at least in their minds, to be walking out the Torah with the strictest adherence and had left the weightier matters of their hearts unattended? Of their hearts unintended. And in doing so, they were nothing more than play actors, most likely hadn't even convinced themselves that they were walking out a life pleasing to Jehovah. They had convinced themselves that they were walking out a life pleasing to Jehovah, and he was saying, you need to come back and repent. You're not where you think you are. You're not where you think you are. And Yeshua warned his disciples to give full attention to this. The influences, the lifestyles, the leaven of the Pharisees, masking of the hidden things within our soul, within our inner man. And whatever is concealed shall be revealed, and whatever is hidden shall be known. I'll say that again before I'm finished. So whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light, and whatever you have spoken in the ear in the secret chambers. You don't have to say it out loud. I had a dream a couple weeks ago. I was in an interview. And a guy I used to work with, both of us went to an interview. And I dressed in a suit. And he came in gym shorts. And I thought in my dream, what in the world? And so we both went into the interview. You know how dreams are kind of weird, so I'm just remembering how it went. You know, it was kind of, sometimes you dream that a tomato is chasing you down the street. You know, I mean, just, you know. So we go to the interview. And as we're leaving the interview, the guy that was interviewing us went to him and said, you had great energy. I liked the way you answered the questions. I had a great time talking with you. And I'm sitting there like, you have got to be joking. I am in a suit and everything. And so I was walking with this dude. I knew him. He actually used to work for me. And I said, I can't believe that he was giving you all this, you know, attention. And here I am in a suit and you're in gym shorts. And he says, well, because you complain about everyone all the time. Well, I've been making a conscious effort for months not to do that. Not there, just making an effort. And I said, no, I'm not. I am not. I'm purposely working on this not to do that. And he said, yeah, you are. I said, I am not, dude. I am not gossiping and saying stuff about people. I've purposely not doing this. And I woke up, like, it was about 3:30 in the morning, which I always wake up at 3:30 in the morning anyway. It's really annoying, but I don't know. And do you ever wake up and it's like real and you're agitated and like, you know, you're like, oh, I'm just so glad. And the Father said, no, you don't say it out loud. You just keep it all in your heart. Ooh. No, I don't say it out loud. Maybe, but it's in there. It's in there. And I said, Father, it is. It is. And I got to work on it. And I'm going to repent. And I'm going to confess. I need to get clean, Father. I mean, I need this stuff gone. I'm over it. I'm done. I'm tired. It's stupid. It's petty. I heard a sermon this couple weeks ago. Man's petty little religion. Just the title itself preached. Man's petty little religion. There are no secrets between us and the Father. There's nothing hidden within the depths of our being that he does not know about. So like the Pharisees, is there a chance that we have left the weightier matters of our heart unattended, perhaps covered our most intimate areas of our heart with plaster, play acting, that all is well? Not to purposely deceive anyone. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying like we're hypocrites, that we're trying to deceive people. But leaving unattended areas in our hearts unresolved and unattended. And with that, we're going around like everything's okay. This could be several reasons. Maybe one of them is it's just too painful to think about. To talk about, to deal with. It's easier to ignore it. I don't want to talk about it. I'm not going there. Okay, we'll keep it there then and nothing gets healed. The other can be unresolved sin. We don't like to admit it. There's some shame to it. There's some shame to unresolved sin. When you have to admit it, it can be embarrassing. It could tarnish our reputation if someone found out about it. What about if the father finds out? What about, well, he already knows. What about if someone else finds out? What about if I tell somebody what I've done? It's just too humiliating. Maybe we think we have it all worked out. Like the Pharisees, we stroll through our journey without any fear and trembling about our salvation because we don't think and we don't believe and we're not really fully persuaded that one day we'll give an account for every word and every intention of our heart. Whatever the case, we need to take courage to address the weightier matters that prevent us from being fully healed. And we get some instruction in 1 John 1, 5 through 10. And this is the message which we heard from him and announced to you, Elohim is light, and in him there is no darkness. And if we say that we have fellowship with one another and walk in darkness, we lie and are not telling the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Yeshua, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah. Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we're misleading ourselves. And the truth isn't even in us. If we confess our sins, he is trustworthy and righteous to forgive us the sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say we have no sin, we are misleading ourselves and the truth is not in us. And if we confess our sins, he is trustworthy and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Two phrases stand out. Misleading ourselves and confession. Misleading ourselves and confession. Were the Pharisees misleading themselves by walking around thinking they were in a good place? Is there a chance we could be misleading ourselves? Thinking that we're in a good place. Let's take a look at what happened to David when he deceived himself into thinking that his transgressions were plastered over. 2 Samuel 12. Then Jehovah sent Nathan to David. And he came to him and said to him, there were two men in a city, one rich and the other poor. The rich one had flocks and herds, very many, and the poor one had one little lamb, which he had bought and kept alive and grew up with him and with his children. It ate of his cup and laid in his bosom. It was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came to the rich man who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare for the one that was traveling and who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. And the wrath of David burned. And he said to Nathan, as Jehovah lives, the man who has done this is the son of death. He deserves death. And he has to repay fourfold because he did this deed, because he had no compassion. I put in parentheses the weightier matters of the Torah. Then Nathan said to David, you are that man. Thus said Jehovah Elohim of Israel, I have anointed you sovereign over Israel. I have delivered you from the hand of Shaul, and I gave you your master's house, master's wives, into your bosom. I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that were not enough, I would have given you much more. All you had to do was ask. Why have you despised my word and done evil in my eyes? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword. You took his wife to be your wife, and you've killed him. Isn't it interesting? Well, first of all, isn't it painful sometimes when you realize it's you? When you realize you're the problem? And it ain't the other person
Have you ever had those come to Jesus meetings? I've had times in my life where I was not living what I was supposed to do. And the Holy Spirit was convicting me. I was married and had kids. Don't do that. Stop doing that. Don't do that. Stop doing that. Mm-mm. I knew better. Until he had enough. And I almost killed a person. Driving my car, and I'll let you read between the lines. And you talking about sobering. You ever walk through something like that where you almost killed somebody? Because he took his hand off you for a second? Because you wouldn't repent? You either repent or he'll knock you off your high horse like he did Paul. You're either going to do it and you're going to come clean and you're going to admit your sin and you're going to repent and you're going to come before his throne and you're going to say, hey, yes, I have an issue with this. Or he'll knock you off your high horse and everybody will see it. It's interesting that when David thought it was someone else that had committed the sin, he was ready to give him the death penalty. When it was someone else, time to hang him up. Until Nathan said, it's you, baby. It's not the dude. It's just a made-up story to get your attention. Have we ever done that? Have we ever strained out a gnat and we're swallowing the camel? We're looking at the dust particle in someone else's eye? And we've got all this stuff we haven't dealt with. James says we shouldn't be a judge of the Torah. We should be doers of the Torah. Leave the judging somewhere else. Because when you do, it comes right back on you. Right back on you. You want to judge somebody else? Fine. You're going to get judged. You reap what you sow. You're going to reap what you sow. When it's someone else that stumbles or misses the mark, woo! We might even need to share a dainty morsel with another, you know, to help the brother and sister out. Did you hear about Eddie and Louise? I mean, I'm just sharing this because, you know, we need to pray for them. Eddie and Louise, if you're going to pray for them, just go to your prayer closet and pray. You don't have to share it with everyone else. That's a dainty morsel. That's making you feel better. That ain't helping them. You got a problem with Eddie and Louise, come see the headship right here. And you say, hey, I think they have an issue. I just want to make you aware of it. There could be some danger here. There could be some trouble. You don't have, no one else. No one else's business. It's just not. It's not. It's a dainty morsel. It makes us feel better. It makes me feel better about myself. Knowing that John has an issue. John has a problem. Yay. John has a problem. I feel, well, whew, I'm glad it's him and not me. Oh boy, it is me. It's also humbling when the Father sends a Nathan, picture of the Holy Spirit, to convict us, to challenge us like he did the Pharisees, like he did David. To remind us that there are times when we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. How did Jehovah respond to this with David? Thus said Jehovah, see, I'm raising up evil against you from your own house and shall take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, which is Absalom. And he shall lie with your wives in the sight of this son. Well, you took Bathsheba in secret, and I'm going to expose you in the sunlight. For you did it in secret.
But I shall do this deed before Israel, before the sun. And whatever is concealed shall be revealed, and whatever is hidden shall be known. And David said to Nathan, I have sinned against Jehovah, and Nathan said to David, and Jehovah has put away your sin, you shall not die. And David said to Nathan, I have sinned against Jehovah. A little different story than we see with Adam, who hid behind the figs and blamed his wife and blamed the serpent. Then David immediately stands up and says, I sinned. I committed this sin. Nathan, what you revealed is truth. And it was blatant sin. No excuses, no shuffling of the feet. Personal responsibility. And he spent 7 days on his face, fasting, praying, asking for God to spare that little baby. And the baby died, the son of Bathsheba. And eventually David was humiliated when his son slept on the roof with his wives. And there are times when there's painful consequences in response to our disobedience, even when you're forgiven. Sometimes there's just consequences that the Father's going to let you live out. He doesn't just wash them away. He doesn't wash them away. Don't believe it? Go look at my driving record. It's always there. That accident is always on there. It doesn't go away. When I go for job interviews and they pull my driving record, guess what's on there? What happened here? Went for jury duty not too long ago. They almost threw me out of the courtroom. Of course, I was wearing a zeet seat on my ears because I didn't want them to. I thought, I'll show them. I needed to get back to work, man. I put right on. I'm teasing. Painful consequences, they're going to be in response to our disobedience. However, we must repent, confess our sins before the Father, and ask the Father in Yeshua's name to cleanse us, our hearts, from all uncleanliness. Until we do so, we continue to carry baggage and heaviness within the depths of who we are in our secret place. We'll not live in health. We won't live in peace. That is available to us today through the Father, through our faith in Yeshua. We got to come clean. David is described as a man after God's own heart in 1 Samuel and in Acts 13. After removing Saul, he raised up David as their king and testified about him. I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will carry out all my will in its entirety. Well, even David, a man after God's own heart, made a mistake and was misleading himself. He had covered it up. But the Father always has a Nathan that will come along to confront. We can either ignore the prompting of the Holy Spirit, the plea of a spouse. Sometimes the spouses are like, honey, please. I mean, we got this issue here. Let's come clean. I love you and everything. I mean, like, you know, we can't continue to go on like this. Or the nudge of a friend. Maybe you love somebody. To come clean about something that's hidden within us that we need to release. David took the high road. He took responsibility and confessed. And we see this, the whole Psalms of 51 is David confessing about the sin he committed with Bathsheba. Show me favor, O Elohim, according to your kindness, according to your greatness of your compassion. Blot out my transgressions, for I know my transgression and my sin is ever before me. That is his confession. He's confessing before the Father. He's getting clean. He's coming clean with the Father. Against you and you alone I've sinned. Forget everyone else. I've done evil in your eyes, that you might be proven right by your words.
Be clear when you judge. See, you have desired truth in my inward part, and in the hidden part you make me to know wisdom. You create in me a clean heart and renew into me a faithful spirit. Create it. Father, restore it. Don't cast me away from your presence. I would just like to be in his presence just for 2 seconds. I mean, I'm talking about his presence. When his presence came, those priests were not standing up. And I'm not talking about slain in the spirit at some, you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the presence of Jehovah had fallen. Folks, we're far from that. We are far from that. If it was, I'll say this, how is it that we move so easily out of a worship service right into the Torah, kids? How is it the last note of the song stops, we're supposed to be before him in his presence, and we move right? I mean, we don't even pause. I mean, there's not even a reflection. If his presence was in this place, we wouldn't be just moving from one thing to the next. I can guarantee you that. We don't even have a second. I'm sorry, I just, Father laid it on my heart. I mean, we're casual. We are so casual. We just think we got it worked out. That we can just move from one, I mean, the Holy Spirit, I mean, he could be saying, hey, stop for a second, worship me, I've got something to say to you. The Torah kids can wait for a second. I'm trying to speak to someone in here. Someone needs to be healed. We don't have time for it. This is a word that we need to hear today. I'm just going to say it. Cornelia, if I'm out of line, I'll sit down. I will sit down. There is no way we can move from a worship service in the presence of God and tiptoe into something else without even pausing for a second. You got to be kidding yourself. You got to be... walking around like we got it all figured out. Are you kidding me? He wants to speak to us. He wants to minister to some folks. We don't have time for it. It'd be too uncomfortable. If the music stopped playing and we had to stand there and worship by ourselves, we can't do it. I don't even know what you're doing at home. Do you have to have music playing and everything? Why do you have to have it here all the time? The music stops, we freak out. We don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. We freak out. We sit down. We start having conversations with one another. Elizabeth, can you hurry up? Scott, get the music on, please. Can you, Rich, what's going on over here? I mean, we can't worship unless we have the screen over here. I mean, can you wiggle the wire? Can we get going here? I mean, we got worship to do. Then we got Torah kids. Do we really think our heart, our inner man, and our heart can be described as pure and undefiled if it's weighed down with unresolved conflict? Create in me a clean heart. The word clean there is pure. That means purged. Tom talked about a purging. Oh, we think purging means people leaving the fellowship. That's not what it means. I'm sorry to tell you. You've got some purging to do. You've got stuff buried down in there you haven't dealt with. You won't deal with it. You're walking around like you think you got it all worked out. We wear the tzitzit. We think that we're good. Who cares? No one cares at my work. I'm wearing tzitzit. They're not coming. Oh! You wear tzitzit. Oh my God, you must be spiritual. That's not what speaks to them. We have fallen to a sound sleep. We are in a full REM sleep. We are snoozing our heads off, and we don't even know it. We don't even know it. It's just the truth. We are so preoccupied with our agendas. Yeshua came and it says, and this is not even in here, in Philippians 2, that he poured himself out. Being in the image of God, he didn't think it was something he needed to attain to. He poured himself out. What about in the garden, right before he was crucified? Drops of blood. Father, not your will, my will, your will be done. Have we ever prayed that? Honestly, folks. Father, bless my day today. Make sure that I have favor in the eyes of God and man. Make my boss like me and everything go fine today so I have no confrontation, Father. Bless my finances. Bless my car. Bless my everything, my marriage, my gas. Bless my house, my home. The Father's saying, hello. I had a plan for you today. If you'd shut up for a second, I could speak to you. Why don't you ask me what you would like, what I would like? Father, what would you have me do today? How can I serve you today, Father? Is there someone I can minister to? No. It's all about me. We want to fit God. We want to make, instead of being made in God's image, we want God to be made in our image. And then we want to tuck them into a little cardboard box, and we want to say, hey, work in these parameters for me, because outside of this is too uncomfortable. My flesh won't like it. I won't like this. It's going to be too uncomfortable for me to go deal with this. You know what another problem is? We don't know how to confront people. I don't. I've been praying about it. The reason things come and fester up and don't get resolved is because when I have a problem with Mark, I don't go to him and say, Mark, buddy, I love you and everything, but this is bugging me. I don't know, maybe I'm in error. Maybe you're in error. But I love you, man. I want to work this thing out. What's going on? Is there a misunderstanding? Did I misread something? No, I want to go tell Rich about it. Hey, Rich, can you help me out with Mark? Can you, Rich? Thank you. Rich is going to take care of it. He takes care of a lot of things, Rich. Creating me a clean heart, pure. It's interesting that the first time the word pure is used, I'm going to try and wrap it up, is in Exodus 25:11, when it's commanded to overlay the ark with clean, pure gold, undefiled, no impurities, inside and out. And then in Exodus 25:16-17, and into the ark you shall put the tablets, the witness, and you shall make a lid of atonement, a mercy seat of pure gold. And it says 2.5 cubits long and 2.5 cubits wide. And we know that the ark was placed into the holies of holies, the place where the presence of the Most High lived, where he dwelt. The most holiest place ever.
And only the high priest could go in. The covenant being placed within the ark, and the ark covered inside and out with undefiled gold. David asked the Father to create in him an undefiled heart. Is it why Yeshua, could our hearts represent the holies of holies? The dwelling place of the Holy Spirit? Is it why Yeshua confronted the Pharisees and said, deal with your hearts? And not pretend that all your intentions and thoughts are pure before Yah? The pure word, the word pure in Psalms 51:10 comes from the root tahar, purged, purified. Is there any purging or purification of our hearts that need to take place? That needs to be confessed before Yah and Yehovah and Yeshua's name? Proverbs 28:13, he who hides his transgression does not prosper. I mean, we could go home on that. But he who confesses and forsakes them finds compassion. Psalms 32:1-5. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom Jehovah imputes no wickedness and whose spirit is no deceit, no play acting. David says, when I kept silent, when I didn't confess, my bones became old and my groanings were all day. For day and night, your hand of conviction was heavy upon me, and my sap was turned into drought. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my wickedness I did not hide. I have said, I confess my transgressions to you, Father, and you forgive me and the wickedness of my sin. You've got to love David. Nothing held back before the Father. You can read all through Psalms, and boy, he just lays it out there. Kill him, Lord. Kill my enemies. I mean, I'm packed off. I mean, Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you deliver me. Father, help me. My heart, it's burning up within me until I confess this stuff. That's him. That's why he's a man after God's own heart, because he laid it out. All through the Psalms, you can read it. Open and honest communication. All the areas that troubled him before us to read about in Psalms, and all the praises when his burdens were lifted. Isn't that a relief? Have you ever had something that you finally got lifted off of you? It's just something. You walk through something and you finally got some victory and you think, thank you, Father. This has been 8 years. I've been dealing with this forever. Would we be so daring to have an honest and truthful discussion with our Father? Our most intimate, private thoughts, concerns, hurts, disappointments, the things we struggle with. Am I the only one that struggles with things? If I pierced into your heart and took a quick look, is there anything in there that you struggle with? Any impure thoughts? Men? Oh, come on. Come on. Impure thoughts? Well, maybe if the ladies didn't wear skin-tight black stretchy pants and everything with their bellies hanging out, we wouldn't be looking. I'm just saying. Sorry if I'm being offensive. I mean, even if you try to live a pure life and you're a guy, they parade it down the street. I can't even believe what... I come into my job, I go up to the call center upstairs. I don't work in there, but I go in there sometimes to see my buddies or whatever. I'm like, I didn't know we were allowed to wear spandex to work. I'll wear mine tomorrow if that's the case. You guys want to play that game, I'll play it. Be kicking me out of the office. Do we have anything shut up in our bones that's heavy on our souls? Are there areas that need to be purged and purified? You know how you get purified? You're going to confess it, and then you're going to get tried.
I watched a couple YouTube videos this week about pure, because I was getting ready for this, purifying gold. One of them was some place out in some third world country. It was a couple dudes out in some field. And they had a pot burning real, you know, hot, and put the gold in. This stuff came up and they took it off and they put it in the cold water and they made little things out of it. And then I saw another one where it was done in a factory. The gold people that sell the wedding rings, same thing. A little bit more technical, but same method. It's how you get purified. That person in your life that's rubbing you the wrong way, it's to get you somewhere. And if you ask the Father to take them out or take them out, you don't have that friction. And that friction is what helps you get up what needs to be worked on. Because then it tells you, I've got an issue. And usually what you see in someone else is what you have in you. I mean, I'm not looking at you personally, Scott. I'm just saying. It's what you have in yourself. David says, search me, Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Your thoughts aren't up here. Your thoughts are here. Here's where they come from. Do we trust him? Are we willing to pour ourselves out to him? Do we have, or do we just hold back a little piece of ourselves? Do we hold back something that's familiar to us? Been rejected? Someone reject you in your life? When someone says something that hurt, do you go back and take that little familiar spirit and say, let's go have a pity party. You and me. You and me. Let's us go do this thing. Just a little something. Little indulgence. You know, something that's a little bit familiar to us. Maybe I'll eat. Maybe, you know, right before bed I'll have a, you know, bowl of cereal because I'm, you know, I need some comfort. See if there's any grievous way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Do we trust him? Are we willing to pour ourselves out? David says in Psalms 62:8, trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart before him. He's our refuge. We have seen that throughout the scriptures mentioned today, we are to confess our transgressions before Jehovah. We are encouraged not to keep issues hidden from him, pressed down in our souls, because it will be revealed one day. We either take care of it now or it'll be taken care of later. We have to have open and honest communication with the Father. If not, like David, our bones might become old through our groaning. Maybe not out loud, but within ourselves. We go around groaning all day long, carrying a burden, a weight that never seems to lift. Not living a life in freedom and healing and peacefulness that the Father desires, but just carrying that thing around all of our days. All of our days. We won't get rid of it. We won't confess it. We won't come before him. We won't confess it to others. And if someone does come confess it to you because they trust you, let me give you a warning. You best protect that person. If someone comes, if I go to Rich, I'm struggling with this, man. Can you pray for me? Rich doesn't need to go over to another person and say, let me tell you what's going on with Jim. Right there. You will give an account for that. You will give an account for making someone else look bad in someone else's eyes. I'm telling you, the Father, he's over it. He is over it in this house and anywhere else. Play around with it a little bit longer. Get on that high horse and keep going like Paul did and find out where you land. You'll get exposed. Different levels of purity of gold. 24 karat. the men want to buy their wives a gift, you probably need to do it at 24 karat. I'm just saying.
24 karat is 99.5% pure gold. 18 karat is 75% pure gold, and it has 6 parts of impurities. 12 carats has 50% gold and 12 parts of impurities. 10 carats has 41.7% pure gold and 14% of impurities. If the Holy Spirit were to examine each of our hearts today, where would we fit on this list? Would we even make the list? I'm only down to 10 carats. I'm not saying this to condemn anyone. I'm saying we need to get healed. And by doing that, we need to come before Him and be honest before Him. This is not a condemning message. It's to provoke you. It's to put God's finger in your chest and say, we need to wake up. We need to be real with each other.
Psalms 24:3. Who will ascend to the hill of Jehovah? And who stands in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who did not bring his life to falsehood and did not make an oath deceivingly. A purged, purified heart.
I don't see anywhere in there where it says, who shall stand in the holy place of Jehovah? Those who have an infected, defiled, impure heart. Father, are you proud of me? I didn't even come and confess to you. I didn't even trust you enough. I wasn't even fully persuaded that your word was true. I didn't even go there.
And he began to say to his disciples first, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Hiding behind the mask, pretending that everything's good, living a life that you're deceiving yourself, and you think you're deceiving those around you, but they know you too well.
James 5:16, confess your trespasses to one another. My counsel on this would be start with Jehovah. Have that and let the Holy Spirit lead you to who you can go talk to. Be careful. You do need to confess. You do need a trusted friend. But it has to be someone I feel that you need to be led to, because I think too many of us are still struggling with this.
If you want to know what pouring out is, and I'm going to stop here because I could go.
This is part one. As I was kind of preparing for this, I was thinking there's a lot more here, and I don't want to go on forever. Pouring out. Read 1 Samuel chapter 1 this week. It's Hannah. She couldn't have the baby. She had the wife who was married to the husband, the two of them. She went before the father when they went up to Shiloh to present the offerings once a year, and where she poured out her heart before the father. And Eli, who wouldn't address the issues with his sons, said, lady, are you drunk? I was thinking about this. He should have been the one down there pouring his heart out, and she should have been the one praying for him. But she poured her heart out. I'm sick with this, Father. I'm sick with this. I want a baby. It was a big deal, in that culture not to have a baby. She was just as honest as you can be. So you can read that this week.
Maybe you do a word search on poured out. It's pretty cool if you do that, and you see lots of scriptures about pouring out your soul before the Father.
So, I'm going to say this. I was praying the other morning, and this just came up in my spirit. I'm not saying it's from the Father. I write things down.
Before the Father moves you to a different place physically, He needs to move you to a different place spiritually. before he gets you somewhere else, he ain't going to do it until you get right spiritually. It's not going to do any good to move you out of something if you haven't taken care of what you need to take care of. This was not a condemning message. I honestly just haven't, I pray, Father, is this what you want me to share? Because I always come up here and I'm so in your face. But you know what? I am so sick and tired of playing church, playing, you know, believer, fighting over the sliver of the moon. I have to be honest with you. I was so sick of that by the end of the feast this time. I have to be honest with you. I told Patty, I said, this was the hardest feast I've ever had. I mean, I heard so much sliver, nut, and beat, and butt, and I was, I mean, even at Sukkot, I have to be honest with you, I heard some things. I came home like, are you kidding me? I went up there to, I mean, I had a good time, don't get me wrong. But I was just like, you've got to be kidding me. We are still talking about the calendar. Get it settled and keep the one you want to keep. I mean, do the one the Father tells you to keep. And then just shut up. If someone doesn't do it like you do, maybe you have it wrong. We think we have it all figured out. And he's saying, you forgot the love. You're arguing about a sliver. And I bet if I did a show of hands about who actually stops at the store occasionally on Shabbat to pick up that emergency thing that you need for the thing, oh, come on. Just on the way home, I'll run in and get the creamer for the coffee. We did it. We used to do it. And one day we pulled up to the store my son works at to get a little something that we didn't need. And I looked at Pat and said, do we need this today? I mean, is this like, if we don't get the doodad, we don't have anything else in the house that we can eat today, nothing to drink. We got a Berkey. We got water. But we needed that kabuka. And I said, no, let's just stop. If we're not going to do it, let's not do it. I was over hearing about it. And we need to get back to the love. We need to keep the Word of God. We need to keep His Torah. We do. Sure we do. I wouldn't be here. I would be back at hearing the prosperity message where I came from. I mean, I could hear that every week. You know what prosperity is? Getting your heart healed. So today we're not going to do Midrash, because as much wisdom as you have and all the great insights every week that everyone shares, the Father wants to hear from you. So I asked Elizabeth if she would just do a few songs this week to end the service. And I want to ask you guys, would you dare to have a conversation with the Father for the next 10 minutes? Could you get out of your comfort zone? Could you just do something different? Do we have to do the same thing every week? Would you even come and treat this as an altar today? You don't have to. Don't come if you don't want to. But sometimes it's just come down, let someone, the lady that prayed for me, that laid her hand on my back, and just not casting anything out, just someone loving me and saying, hey, I'm here. You don't need prayer. You don't need prayer. You don't need to pray. Pray for someone else. Lay your hand on someone's back today and say, hey, I'm here with you. That doesn't work for you? Is all your loved ones saved? Are all your loved ones serving Yeshua? Then they intercede. Don't just sit there and act like you have nothing to pray about. We're just deceiving ourselves. So, folks, I love you. Tough word. But I told you when I came here about a year ago that I usually just give asparagus. I'm not going to, I just have never gotten donuts. I just don't get them. I don't want them. I'd rather sit down. I would rather not teach. Tom, if you're watching, I'd rather not teach than have to come up here and make everyone feel good every week. If you're not going to leave with God's finger in your chest to say something needs to happen differently, you need to confess, you need to get real, you need to get out of your comfort zone, you need to do something that makes you feel uncomfortable. If you're not going to do that, then that's your choice. But we're in the end times, folks. And just like I heard at work, we're just like frogs in water. It just warms up and warms up. We don't even know we're in it. We just let everything else come in, everything else around us. We just accept it. We're not even any, people don't even know we're different. And you know what else? The word of hypocrite came out. I was telling Patty this morning. It's when we, you know, forget about pretending we got it all worked out. It's when we pretend we're cool and we're in the world. We want people to think we're relevant. We don't want to be weirdos. Too late for some of us. But we play the other card. We, in disguise, we want to be relevant. And the Father says, if I wanted you relevant, I would ask you to be relevant. I want you to be called out. Don't want to do the walk? That's up to you. So today, we're going to do a couple songs. I've asked the elders, Mark and Ellie, last week to prepare their hearts this week. Hopefully you guys did. I've asked Patty if there's some ladies to come up. Of course, Cornelia. If you guys, anyone wants to come up, you don't have to. If you want to just stay where you're at, but for the next few minutes, we're just going to have some worship music. And I just want everyone to meditate on the Father. Lord, we just thank you, Father. And Elizabeth, you can start it whenever you want, when you get it. Okay. Father, we thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, convict us, Father, of areas, Father, that are unresolved within our souls, Lord. Father, where we've become comfortable, Father, challenge us. Father, we ask for your forgiveness. Father, have mercy on us, Lord. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, move, please. Help us. Father, we call out to you in our hearts, in our souls. Father, if there's something that's unresolved with any of us, Father, prick our hearts, Lord. Father, if we're hurt and wounded, we don't have to be brave before you, Lord. If we're disappointed because someone we love didn't love us back, Father, if a father walked out and left us there, Father, if a mother didn't express some love, Father, that we needed, you're there, Father. Father, if the kids aren't turning out like we had hoped, Father, call them, capture them. Bring them back home, Father. Have mercy on their souls. Draw them to your heart, Father. Father, heal us today, Lord. Let it start. Folks, you're not going to get healed 100% today if you've got some wounds. It's a start, though, if we'll just be honest. Father, if we have regrets, Lord,
Father, if we have regrets because we are acting, Father, we are in sin. When the kids were little, Father, instead of teaching them, Father, we were acting goofy, Father. Hiding sin, Father, trying to pretend like it wasn't there and damaging our families, Father. We have regrets, Father. But we want to get clean, Father. We want to get clean, Father. We confess our trespasses, our wounds, our hurts. We pour out, Father, our souls to you. Please, please. Father, reach down. Bow down. Bow down, Father. Have mercy. Have mercy, Father. Oh, Lord, we don't even want to serve you, Father. Until we figure it out. Father, we don't want to serve you, Father, till we have it all figured out. Packaged up, Lord. We don't want to have faith, Father. We don't want to have to use faith. Give us faith, Father. Help our unbelief, Lord. Help our unbelief, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, we can't do this anymore the way we've been doing it. We honestly can't. It's a waste of time, Father. It's a waste of your time. It's a waste of ours, Lord. Father, let your word come alive. Let our first love, Father, the passion that we used to have, Father, fill us with your passion, Father. Ignite our hearts again with the power of the Holy Spirit, Father. Father, ignite our inner man, Father. Our true man, the person that we are, Father. It's not flesh that's going to resurrect with you one day, Father. It's going to be who we are, Father. Let it be pure. Burn away, Father, the impurities. I don't even know how you do it, Father. I don't have all the understanding, but I know it starts with us being real with you, Father, and being real with each other. God, will we stand in your holy place with you one day, Father? Could we even approach, Father? Father, is there a chance? Is there a chance, Father? Is there a chance, Father? First century church, filled with the power of the Spirit of God. A different day, a different time, different intensity. We've gotten comfortable. Have mercy, Father. We treat you like you're a commodity, Father. Would you move, Father, in the hearts? Would you convict us, Father? Would you create in us, Father? Would you try our hearts, Father? Father, we are weary with the way this world is going and the things we face every day. Would you baptize us in the Holy Spirit, Father? Would you baptize us afresh? Would you breathe into us again the power, Father, of your Spirit? Is there room, Father, in our hearts for it? Hallelujah.